There we go. I gave Brian the adrenaline he was looking for.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about needing a nap. Now I'm all fired up and ready to go, like, run some laps.
There you go.
Well, it is Monday, and it's like, I was thinking about this, man. It's like, I was just talking to you about, you know, the weekend schedule and all that stuff. But, like, you know, we all, from a football, like a team standpoint, they jump on the hamster wheel, and it doesn't stop spinning with the exception of the bye week. You know, until, you know, for them, the bowl game. But it's like we kind of do the same thing from the media. You know, it's like it's a weekly cycle. You lead up to the game. You talk about the game. These are the keys to the game. Then you've got the game. And then we turn right around and we do it all over again the next week. And it's like the wheel stops. You know, you look up, the wheel's still spinning. But now it's what, like 10 weeks later, 11 weeks later with the bye week and just 2 weeks to go in the regular season. Here we are.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. It's the one thing that is the same now as it was when I was coaching football is that right there. It's just you get into the routine, and this is what you do, and you know, rinse, repeat, and the season. Next thing you know, the season is like, wow, we've only got two games left, and it's one of the good things, but also one of the things that's like, wow, it's only 2 weeks left, and you know, and that's kind of why sometimes bye weeks cannot be good. If you're in like right now, if I was Notre Dame, I would not want a bye week. I would say, we're playing well. We keep getting better every week. The last thing I want to do is stop this momentum.
Yeah.
So I think this year's Notre Dame, I don't know if Notre Dame's ever had a bye week that ended up working out better than this one, from getting healthy, from being able to do the self-scouting to figure out kind of the changes that needed to be made on both sides of the ball, especially on offense. They did about as good, and maybe it's not the timing was the best, but they made the most of it than we've seen in a long time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was right at the midpoint of the season, too. You know, it was right after the first six games going into, you know, but like you said, just like what the actual games were and stuff like that, I don't know. But they came out of it and made their adjustments, and we've seen, for the most part, a different offense. I'm going to ask you about Kyle Hamilton in a minute, but since we're kind of on that a little bit, a lot of fans were mad they didn't score more points, you know, more than 28 points. What did you think about that aspect?
I wouldn't say I was mad. I think it was a missed opportunity. Yeah. And it is a little frustrating because whether you like it or not, style points matter. And it's not just about, you know, for me, it's not just about, you know, oh, you should have scored 45. It's about the way you looked. You know, if committee teams are watching Notre Dame and they kind of watch them just put it on cruise control starting at about the 1:16 mark of the second quarter when you get the ball at your own 15 with two timeouts left and 1:16 to go, and you don't even try to move the ball down the field, and then you kind of coast in the second half and you only win 7-7, you know, you outscore them 7-3. Those kind of things the committee looks at. And if you want an example of what I'm referring to, look at the fact that they ranked Michigan ahead of Michigan State, despite the fact Michigan State won, because what they say, they controlled the game. It just, yes, Michigan State actually won, but Michigan is the more complete team. And that was the opportunity that Notre Dame had against a 6-3 Virginia team. And, you know, they're down their quarterback. You're down some guys. You're down your All-American. That was an opportunity for this team to put a 60-minute game together on both sides of the ball. And the reality is the offense didn't take advantage and kind of put the kind of margin that you need. Okay, well, you missed that chance, but now you've got two more cracks at it, and they're going to have to do that these next two games against 2-3-7 opponents that are giving up well over 30 points per game during their current losing streaks.
Yeah, I agree. I think style points really do matter, and I think – maybe the frustrating thing is just, you know, looking at some situational things and kind of watching how some drives stalled and that kind of stuff and the fact that you've got to go for it on fourth down and those kind of things as much as it. You know, again, it's like they still won, but I definitely think we had a higher expectation, and it was almost like they just decided, you know, to kind of go a little bit more than the speed limit maybe, or right around the speed limit once Brennan Armstrong was not going to be in there. And they just, you know, okay, yeah, they ran for almost 250 yards, and I think that factored in there. But it just seemed like that there was more, and I agree with what you're saying. Now you've got to kind of leave it to the committee week to week, and they've shown that they're willing to be, you know, sort of more flexible than, I guess, your regular typical pollster, that kind of thing.
Right. So. And look, I mean, and you're talking about a Virginia defense that was giving up 219 yards rushing per game coming in. You know, they were giving up over 30 points per game coming in. They were giving up 34.6 points per game to Power 5 opponents coming into that game, and you scored 28. And so, again, if the goal is to win a championship at Notre Dame, right, and that's what Coach Kelly always tells us, the goal is to win a championship. You're sitting there at 9-1, 8-1. You're in the top 10. Oklahoma's lost. You know that you have to know what's in front of you, right? I mean, you have to be able to, as a coach, to say, look, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State all play each other. There's some things on there for, you know, we have an opportunity down the stretch to really put a hurting on teams. And you have to take advantage. And it's not about running up the score, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, running flea flickers and fake punts in the fourth quarter.
Right.
It's about take that chance at the end of the second quarter. Come out and continue to be who you are in the third quarter. And that's what it's like. And, you know, because look, it's not just the teams in front of you. The team behind you, Oklahoma State, went out and beat TCU 63-17. Everybody else is doing it. So if your goal is to play for a championship, these are the rules of the game. You have to play by them. And that's just the way it has to be.
Well, and I thought that, and Tyler Buchner got in more at the end of the game. It felt like there were some points where they could have got him in the first half, again, with a Virginia defense that struggled against mobile quarterbacks this year. And maybe he could have, you know, provided some spark. But it was almost like then you're Brian Kelly and you're concerned about, well, you know, maybe Jack just made a mistake. So you don't, you know, those kind of things. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, for me, I felt like I agree that there may have been a chance to get him in the game, especially the fourth and one. I just don't – having watched this offensive line, you get no movement in the run game. You weren't getting any movement on Saturday. You're not – why are you running a quarterback sneak to your quarterback who's not a real mobile guy? Either give it to Kyren Williams like you did the next series or put Tyler Buchner in the game. But I think part of the reason they didn't put Tyler Buchner in the first half because I was frustrated with the final 30 minutes. Well, I'd say 31 minutes and 16 seconds. But I thought the first up until that where they, you know, they kind of took their foot off the gas, which was a frustrating thing. And as I've said a million times, Sean, you can't just turn that switch on and off. It's either who you are or it's not. And it just was another example of this is just who Brian Kelly is, which is why his football team went into coast mode in the second half, because you went into coast mode in the second quarter. But before that, that was one of the best designed and best called games Tommy Reese has had this season. Now,
yeah,
again, yes.
I mean, there was some good stuff there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if there was a moment, because the offense was rolling so well, where you necessarily needed to put Tyler Buchner in, except for some of those short yardage situations. And because the reality is, you know, you back and watch that game, some of the conversions they had, they're not conversions against Georgia or Ohio State or Oregon. So, for example, you have a 3rd-and-2 conversion early in the game, and Kyren Williams is running and two guys get loose. They hit him in the backfield. He spins out and runs for first down. Well, that worked because he's a phenomenal player, and you had great perimeter blocking by Kevin Austin. I believe it's Kevin Austin and Jaden Thomas, a freshman receiver. But against better defenders, I don't care how good Kyren Williams is, you can't keep making those kind of plays. You can't, like Logan Diggs on his 26-yard run, he gets hit 3 yards in the backfield. And yeah, that works against when you're playing bad defenses like North Carolina and USC and Virginia, but you know, those things kind of get masked a little bit. But other than those situations, I thought Jack Cohn ran that offense really well on Saturday in the first half. I thought they were aggressive. They were multiple. We saw 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, 21 personnel. We saw a lot. And then they come out in the second half, and it's 12 personnel, 12 personnel, 12 personnel.
Yeah.
Then they need a spark, and then they do something, and they drop a reverse to Braden Lindsay, which we've been begging for 9 games, and they finally run it, and look what happens, 31-yard gain.
And what I don't get about the – now, I don't want to say this is every time because I don't sit and chart plays like you do, but it seems like, by and large, okay, we're bringing in extra tight ends, but we're running between the tackles. Like, they're not taking advantage on the edge of what a tight end could actually – do for you. Does it seem that way to you?
It does. I will say in this game, however, one thing I did like is that they went the first time they went 13 personnel. Now 13 personnel is one running back, three tight ends. They threw a deep shot that first time. And so I did like
True.
That. And then the next time they got into the red zone, their second touchdown, they went 12 personnel. Again, two tight ends, one running back. And they motioned Braden Lindsay to the boundary, and they had two tight ends there, and they did a play action bootleg, which allowed Braden Lindsay to kind of get lost. Very, very well-designed play, but that they used that two tight end alignment and some of their past, because I think you're absolutely right, Sean, in how this team has been all year. In this particular game, in the first half, not so much the second half, but in the first half, I thought they used some of those tendencies to set up pass game opportunities. So
that's
one thing I liked
different.
About the first half.
Yeah. And I'm talking about
away from
yeah.
Yeah.
More specifically when they run the ball, yeah.
Correct, correct. Yeah, and I do think there are some things they can do differently to set things up. But yeah, it does become a bit predictable. Teams can kind of condense the box. They're just not a great running team out of that, other than there have just been times when Kyren Williams just makes incredible plays. Right. And then Saturday we saw it as well from Logan Diggs. This is as good of a Notre Dame backfield as we've seen in a really long time.
Absolutely. Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com. Ramon Henderson, seems pretty safe to say he's a better safety than corner right now. He looked pretty good out there.
Yes. He looked comfortable for the first time in a football uniform that I've ever seen him look comfortable. And then he's just one of those kids. He was a track guy. He had great track times in high school. I wasn't as high on Ramon coming out, if I'm going to be honest with you, because he looked more like a track guy than a football player. And I didn't see the I didn't see the instincts. And to be a corner, you have to have some instincts. And we saw that this year. When he's played a corner, he's never really looked comfortable playing corner. Well, he goes to safety, and after a week of practice, he looked natural. He looked comfortable. He was coming downhill. Now, he credited DJ Brown for a lot of that, too, because DJ was telling him where to go at times, which is exactly how it should be, which is, I don't know, something we've talked about when you've got a freshman receiver who's really talented but doesn't know all the plays. You just tell him what to do and then let him go play. Well, that's what they did on Saturday, and I'll be honest with you, Sean. When I first saw him at safety, I was upset. I was like, come on. Like, are you serious? Like, give Xavier what you... But I'm also man enough to admit that I was flat out wrong, because the way they used him, he was perfect for that spot. He was impactful. He was good in coverage. He was good against the run. He made the big pick at the end. All of a sudden, you're looking at the safety depth chart where a month ago, you're like, when Kyle Hamilton leaves, this is going to be a little shaky. Now you're like, Ramon Henderson, Xavier Watts, DJ Brown's balling. Hey, they might be all right next year in safety when Kyle Hamilton leaves.
Exactly. Now, speaking of which, Brian Kelly at his press conference today is now talking about this being what he called a 6-week injury. We're just a little bit more than 3 weeks out since he had the injury. So do you think we've seen the last of him at Notre Dame?
I think that we've seen the last of Kyle Hamilton unless Notre Dame makes the playoff.
Yeah.
I think that's the deal. If they just play in any other bowl game, I don't see him playing. I was a little confused by it because, you know, as you said, we're 3 weeks in. We're just now being told it's a 6-week injury.
Right.
Whereas I thought last week, it sounded to me last week when you listened to Brian Kelly,
there was more promise.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden it's a 6-week injury. So, you know, that's about all I'm going to say about that. But, yeah, he's not going to play in the regular season. At this point in time, there's really no need to play him the rest of the regular season. The teams you needed him for were Virginia and North Carolina and USC. And so, obviously, he's not there. But hopefully he can get healthy. And if they make the playoff, he can help them. Because if you want to beat Georgia and Ohio State and those type of teams, you're going to need your best player. And I think we all agree that Kyle Hamilton is certainly their best player. And from what I've been told from my sources, Sean, Kyle wants to play. This is not a situation of Kyle not wanting to play and protect his draft. I think, of course, maybe some people around him are concerned about that, as people that should look out for his best interest should be concerned about that. But from what I'm told from sources, Kyle wants to play. And so I do think that's why if they make the playoff, you will see him back out there.
Well, and I think we talked about this on Friday about second opinions from, you know, some different doctors, whether or not that was, you know, prompted by the family or whatever. That's what, to go from 4 days ago, there really was no timeline that Brian Kelly was laying out. It was just when he's medically cleared to play, he wants to play and he's going to play. And now 4 days later, well, it's a 6-week injury, you know, very matter of fact. It feels like maybe some, you know, new opinion came into the fold, and that's where we're getting 6 weeks now.
Yeah, I think a new opinion came into the fold. I'm just not sure it was a medical opinion that came into the fold. But you know what? Like, here's my thing. Like, I can be frustrated by it because I tend to look at things more from a coaching standpoint.
Sure.
And I don't necessarily like it. I feel like you've made a commitment to your team. So if you're healthy enough to play, you play, because there are other players whose draft stock depends on you as well. But that's my coaching hat and teammate hat. But if I'm a parent and I'm Kyle's parent, or I'm his, you know, someone who's looking out for him, it's not my job to look out for the rest of the team. It's my job to look out for my son. And so that's what makes these things challenging and difficult is, yeah, it's a BS situation if you're looking at it from one point of view, and it's a that's not my concern. If you're a parent, it's my, with all due respect, my concern isn't to the other players on the team; it's to my son. And you know, so that's what makes this a tricky situation and a risky situation. Because if he comes back and gets hurt, you know, that next time this happens, then there's no chance that a kid plays.
Exactly.
So it's Brian Kelly's in a really tough situation. He's got to say the right things to look out for his team. He's got to say the right things to look out for Kyle, and he's in a tough spot. And I thought he's in a tough spot. So I'm not going to criticize what he said, because I think he's been working with the thought that we're going to have him at some point in time, and I think now he realizes, yeah, that's not happening.
Right, and don't get
not
me wrong.
Medically,
I'm not criticizing what you know he said last week and what he's saying now.
It's just
obvious that, again, you know.
Yeah.
There are other things at play.
And that's the tough. And I didn't take it as criticism. I just I'll be honest. That was my first reaction, and I was a little bit maybe harsher in my criticism of Brian Kelly when we did our immediate post press conference show of, well, why didn't he just say this in the past? Then you take a step back and you're like, well, because a week ago that he was working under a different assumption.
Yeah,
and so that's why I've kind of walked back my criticism of him that I had earlier right after the fact of like, why didn't you just tell us this? Because I think a week ago, Brian Kelly genuinely thought he was going to have a chance to get Kyle Hamilton back, and now he doesn't.
No,
so
it's different.
he can only say what the current circumstance is.
Yep, exactly. All right, Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com. We talk to him Mondays and Wednesdays here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. What else is going on right now at Irish Breakdown?
So, Sean, on Wednesday, starting at 12:30 on our live podcast, we are going to be on for about 2 hours. We are doing a Thanksgiving fundraiser.
Ooh.
All the super chats, all the donations that we're going to have, we're going to take and we're going to use that to go help buy food and clothing for local Michiana homeless shelters and missions and different things like that. And we're going to have some special guests on. We got some former Notre Dame players lined up. We have a couple other, you know, my friends of mine in the business are going to come on. So we're going to talk Notre Dame football, but all the money that we raise is going to go to help make this a great Thanksgiving for a lot of the people in this community who haven't been as blessed and as fortunate as I have been. So if you're able to, from 12:30 to about 2:30, 3 o'clock on Wednesday, check out our live show and help support us to help support our local community.
Okay. And having been a host on your live show once a while back, there are basically what you're talking about is people who get in to watch/listen, mm-hmm. there are ways that they can donate while the show
Correct.
Is going on, basically.
And
so
we will have an additional donation page that if people don't want to go through Google, they just want to donate, maybe be more anonymous with it, we'll have a way to do that too. So if you're willing to help and you're able to help, listen to our show, talk Notre Dame football, and help out. And we're going to be as transparent as possible about how much we raise and where it goes and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some special guests on. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out at the Irish Breakdown YouTube page.
Sounds good to me. That's a pretty cool thing with Thanksgiving just a little bit more than a week away, which is kind of amazing as well. All right, Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com. Great to talk to you. I'll talk to you again on Wednesday, and we'll check in on how your live podcast goes.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
All right, sounds good. Take a timeout when we come back. 5 game balls from Saturday's win over Virginia. And in the 6 o'clock hour, Notre Dame men's and women's basketball, you'll hear from Mike Bray, as well as Notre Dame women's assistant Coquise Washington after wins over the weekend. That's coming up on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.